How do you keep on going, year in, year out, when there are personal and relational and spiritual and financial obstacles that sometimes simply seem absolutely insurmountable? How do you keep on going when the thrill of all that attention and all those people affirming you is gone, and it feels like you are the only one who cares about this ministry anymore?
Hope in God is the title of our series, and today we begin the final message in this set, which we trust has answered just about any and every question you ever had about what the Bible means when it says hope. John, this has been a great series. I'm so thankful for it. And today we come to the fourth fruit that you believe the scriptures say should flow forth from our hope, and that is endurance. Before we begin, where is endurance going to help us? When do we need it?
Well, we need it when things are going absolutely perfectly, and we need it when things are going absolutely horribly, because they're two different threats to faith in both cases. And when I say endurance, I mean the endurance of faith. And when I say faith, I mean a profound, deep satisfaction in all that God is for us in Jesus. And two things threaten that. One is pleasure and one is pain. And when pleasure comes fast and furious, months and years without end, the danger is that we begin to trust in, rely upon, be satisfied by all the good things. And when pleasures go and pain comes, the danger is that we throw our confidence God away. We get mad at God. We say, "Where are you, God?" And instead of making him the treasure in the pain, we say, "You were supposed to give me something better than pain. And so since you didn't, I'm out of here." And that's the threat to faith. And so we need endurance. Answer, Bob. All the time. We need it all the time. Persevering in faith has to happen every day. I suppose over the years of my ministry, one of my most common prayers has been, "Lord, keep me faithful. Please, today, tomorrow, the years, keep me faithful. Don't let me begin to coast. Don't let me become lazy. Don't let me become cavalier about the ministry. Don't let me become bored with the ministry or to take it so for granted that I begin to have other hobbies that consume more of my emotional energy." It's really sad when you find pastors, especially, but Christians in general, who the ministry becomes what they do when they're on automatic pilot. And what they do when they're really engaged is play. And they're just looking for their day off and their weekend and their hobby and their boat and their toys and their cabin and their getaways and their computers and their new gadgets. That's tragic. Jesus Christ and his purposes for us and his ministry should be the thing that gets all of our energy. And so endurance is the battle that keeps us going at that.
John's text today is found in 1 Thessalonians, and I hope you're able to join us next time for the conclusion, because there really are two essential parts of this message. Today he focuses on the shalls of Scripture, all those things that God has promised to do for and in us, and Thursday he will focus on the musts, all of those things we're told must be true in our lives if we're going to inherit eternal life. Is there a contradiction? Make sure you listen closely for the answer. Here is Pastor John to begin the final message in this series, Hope in God.
Seems fitting that at the end of this series on hope, the final fruit of hope that we talk about is endurance, because that's what will have to be true of you if you are to carry on with the implications of what we've said. The text is verse 3, 1 Thessalonians 1. And the particular phrase in verse 3 is that little phrase at the end, the endurance of hope. I take that to mean that hope produces endurance, or that endurance is the fruit of hope. The reason I take it to mean that is because the other two phrases that come just before it, the work of faith and the labor of love, seem to have that same meaning. Wouldn't you agree that work of faith means a work that flows from or comes from or is born of faith, and a labor of love means a labor that is born out of love and comes from love, and therefore the endurance of hope is an endurance that comes from or is born of or is the fruit of hope. So I understand the phrase to mean the endurance that we must have comes from hope. And the question that I want to pose behind this connection this morning, for you to keep there in the back of your minds as we probe the connection between hope and endurance, is this. How do you keep on going in ministry, in a relationship, in a job, in a disability? How do you keep on going year in, year out, decade in, decade out, when there are personal and relational and spiritual and financial obstacles that sometimes simply seem absolutely insurmountable? How do you keep on going in the path of obedience to which God has called you when the limelight has shifted off of your ministry? The limelight zeroes in on missions. And oh, do missions look glorious. Being a cross-cultural missionary or tent maker or a world Christian, it's so exciting that 90 people will come to my house and pray and sing and dream. And then in a few weeks, the limelight moves on. It stops on urban ministries for a while, stops on music ministries, stops on the 2020 vision and small groups. It passes over to Christian education. It goes to a week of prayer, and so it moves, leaving behind a trail of discouraged people who got caught up in the light and the thrill and the encouragement and the camaraderie and the joy. And they didn't realize a lot of their energy was flowing straight from the limelight. How do you keep on going when the thrill of all that attention and all those people affirming you is gone, and it feels like you are the only one who cares about this ministry anymore? The nursery, the teaching the five-year-olds, the trying to lead a backyard Bible study, missions, a prayer ministry alone in the prayer room. How do you keep on going when the limelight has moved on and all the human support seemed to have vanished? Does the Lord only want His people to minister in music and in the inner city and in education and in prayer and in 2020 small groups and in education or whatever? Only when the limelight is on it? When the music is high and the spirit is good, is that the only time? We know it's not. What does it take then? It takes endurance. Rock solid endurance in a path of obedience to the Lord. It's absolutely indispensable in the life of a Christian and the life of a church. There is going to be a world of difference between the joy and the enthusiasm and the camaraderie and the sense of support tonight when we commission Steve and Susan and Ludine and Becky, and 6 months from now, when the stress and the loneliness and the sickness comes down in Cameroon and Guatemala. A world of difference. It takes endurance. I give thanks for your work of faith, your labor of love, and your endurance of hope. Without the endurance of hope, the work of faith and the labor of love are going to be shown to be no real work of God, but only a love for the limelight. Endurance is the test of the genuineness of the work of faith and the labor of love. We don't live in a generation that puts a very high priority on endurance in relationships, for example, like marriage or jobs or ministry. This is a mobile and a moving age. Very little commitment, very little esteeming of endurance. And therefore, if we follow the scriptures here, we're swimming against the tide. So be it. This is a call for the endurance of the saints. Let's probe together the connection between hope and endurance. And let's do it by asking these questions. Are Christians supposed to endure in the path of obedience in order to inherit the blessings of heaven? Or are Christians supposed to endure because they are sure of the blessings of heaven? Or let's ask it another way. Is endurance in the path of obedience, the condition that we must fulfill in order to obtain the inheritance of salvation? Or is the inheritance of salvation already a guaranteed gift which gives us the confidence to endure? Or one other pair. Is the message of the gospel you must endure in order to be saved? Or you shall endure because you are saved. The biblical answer, the resounding biblical answer to all six of those questions is yes. Yes! You must endure to the end in order to be saved. And you shall endure precisely because you are saved. Salvation is both the reward of endurance and the gift of grace. We endure in order to inherit the blessings of heaven and because we are sure that those blessings are ours in Christ. Now, the reason I pose those questions and assert that resounding yes is because I have commended to you week in and week out that there is one source of hope. And that's the Word of God. And when you go to this book, which was written that by the steadfastness and encouragement of the Scriptures, you might have hope. Romans 15:4. You find both shalls and musts. And I don't want you to mangle the scriptures on the one hand or to miss the blessings of God in the shalls and the musts on the other hand. For the musts are there not for another age, but for you. If you divide the scriptures and put them in the bottle of disuse, you will suffer greatly, for they are designed for your hope and your endurance. We need to see how that's the case. Let's look first at the shalls, the great shalls and wills of the new covenant. Now, this picking up a theme of last Sunday. You remember we read in Jeremiah chapter 31, I think, and Ezekiel 36, texts relating to the new covenant. And we said that the new covenant that God would make with his people, which is sealed by the blood of Christ, that new covenant is better than the old covenant made at Sinai. And the reason it's better is because with the promised covenant comes the Holy Spirit power to fulfill the conditions. Formerly it was written on stone with letter. Now it is being written on the heart by the Spirit. The letter kills, the Spirit makes alive. The betterness of the new covenant is that it makes over to God's people absolute promises. And here's one that I didn't read last week. Jeremiah 32 verse 40. I will make with them an everlasting covenant that I will not turn away from doing good to them. I will put the fear of me in their hearts that they may not turn from me. That's classic New Covenant talk. I will put the fear of me in their hearts that they will not turn from me. The wills and the shalls of the New Covenant are absolute and guaranteed. And therefore the New Covenant is a success while the Old Covenant was a colossal failure. There was only a little tiny remnant of the people of Israel who were faithful, in whom the fear of the Lord abounded. But now, he promises that he's going to undertake to do it. He won't leave it for men to do anymore. He won't command on tablets of stone and then leave them in the deadness of their own unregenerate selves. Now, he will write it on their hearts. By his Spirit, he will engage to change them and take out the heart of stone, put in the heart of flesh, cause them to walk in his statutes, and keep them fearing. What does that mean? It means that endurance has been purchased by the blood of Christ and is a guaranteed gift in the new covenant. God will do it, and it cannot fail. And so you come over into the New Testament and you read things like Philippians 1:6, I am sure that he, not me, he who began a good work in you will, shall complete it unto the day of Christ. And then you read about Paul's testimony concerning his own apostolic ministry. And he says in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed, and I am sure that he is able to guard unto that day what has been entrusted to me. In other words, I have been entrusted with an apostolic commission to the Gentiles, and I know that the reason I shall complete this unto the day of Christ is that he began it and he will finish it. He says it to every one of those who are broken and have come to Christ for forgiveness. 1 Corinthians 1:8, Christ shall confirm you. Christ shall confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Christ. God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son. What does that mean? It means that if you've been called into the fellowship of his Son, God, by the sovereignty of his grace, will keep you in the fellowship of his Son. Those whom he called, he justified. And those whom he justified, he glorified. And the link between justification and glorification is a path of endurance in obedience, and therefore endurance is a made-over gift to the people of God, purchased by the blood of Christ, and absolutely secure and certain. Listen to this benediction from Hebrews. Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight. That's new covenant talk, not old covenant talk. Almighty God undertakes to work in his saints what he requires of them in the covenant stipulations. And therefore they are certain. We shall endure. That's one kind of text in the Bible. It says that endurance will happen for the people of God. It is a blood-bought gift, and it will not fail. I will put within them the fear of me, that they may not turn from me. God will do it. The great shalls and the wills of the new covenant.
And with those promises of what God will do, we have come to the end of our time for today. John Piper wraps up his series, Hope in God Thursday, with a focus on the must of Scripture. Must we endure to the end in order to be saved? Or do we endure because we are saved? The Bible says both. Make plans to join us next time and hear how that works. I love to give away books, you know, good books about important matters. But one question I've often asked is, what is the best book I can give away to a non-Christian, inviting them to think about why they're here? Now, there are several in the Desiring God store, but one I wasn't thinking about until lately is Don't Waste Your Life. John writes in the preface, you are in one of two groups. Either you are a Christian or God is now calling you to be one. You would have not picked up this book if God were not at work in your life. Provocative, engaging, pretty much typical John Piper. If you're thinking about what to pick up so you have something to give away, consider Don't Waste Your Life. I've got a little over two cases sitting right here in my home office, and I take them with me pretty much everywhere I go. You never know when that perfect opportunity will present itself, and I want to be ready. Visit our store today and order some copies so that you will be ready. Don't waste your life. When I last ordered, they came in a case of 52, but of course, you can order as many or as few as you like. www.desiringgod.com. .org. Look in the store for Don't Waste Your Life, or you can dial us up at 1-888-346-4700. 888-346-4700. If you're looking for something a little bit smaller, something to keep in your pocket or purse, well, check out John's little book, For Your Joy, desiringgod.org and 888-346-4700. We want you to join with us in spreading a passion for the supremacy of God in all things, for the joy of all peoples through Jesus Christ. Next week, we begin with a John Piper classic, Sustained by Sovereign Grace Forever. And then we begin mining once again in the greatest letter ever written. We're in Romans chapter 12. But before that, join us for the conclusion of our series, Hope in God, as we finish our look at the fruit of Christian endurance.